Hebrews chapter 12. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now look at that. Look at those words. These words will change your life. They will establish for you a new eternity. Look at the words. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Look at him. Fix your eyes on him. See him hanging on Calvary's cross. See him at the top of that hill dying for you, knowing how many times you were going to let him down. He died. Knowing how many times you were going to rebel against him. He died. Knowing how many times you were going to look at his love and slap him in the face anyway, he died. Fix your eyes on the Lamb of God, sacrificing all for you. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter, the author, the one who began it. That's the pioneer. The pioneer starts things. Jesus is the one who started our faith with a new covenant in his blood. He is the pioneer of our faith. He is also the perfecter of our faith, the one who brings it to a complete conclusion. He who began a good work in you will complete that work. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. Don't ever stop looking at the Lamb of God on the cross for us. The one who started it all. The one who will complete it. And then notice why he did it. For the joy set before him. The joy. How could there be joy in sacrifice? How could there be joy in suffering? Don't misunderstand, he's not saying he's looking forward to the cross. Remember in the garden, he prayed 3 times, "Don't make me do this." He didn't want that. Matter of fact, it even says the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. He doesn't want to do this, but he does it because the Father has established that is his role in this great redemptive plan to bring salvation, to bring redemption. And so it says, for the joy set before him, Jesus, knowing that by obeying the Father would then glorify him, looking forward to that return to glory, looking forward to being lifted up by the Father because of his obedience, looking forward to the joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame. And then, indeed, the Father exalted him, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Beloved, there are some things that we must never forget. We get so busy. We get so distracted. We so easily turn against one another. We so easily get discouraged by things and events that are really of this world. That we need to be reminded, look, fix your eyes, see it again. Don't forget the pioneer and perfecter of our faith who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. That is what should define us as believers. What should define us as believers is that we are people who follow the one who died and came back to life for us. In the Old Testament, there's a story of how the Jews rebelled against God. And because of their rebellion, God sent poisonous snakes among them. These poisonous snakes would bite them and the people would die. And so the people came to Moses and said, "Moses, help us, because the snakes are killing us and we need God to help us." And so Moses goes to God, and on behalf of the people, he says, "God, we're sorry that we have disobeyed you, that we have rebelled against you. Would you restore us? Would you heal us?" And so God says, you take a bronze snake and you put it on the top of a pole. You hold the pole way up high, and when someone gets bitten by those poisonous snakes, all they need do is look up and see the snake on the top of the pole, and their lives will be saved. Now, as strange as that sounds, as odd as that is, it required the people to obey something. They had been disobedient, so God gave them a way to obey. And by obeying, they demonstrated their faith in him again, and he honored their faith, and they were saved. But not only did it provide them a way to obey, it actually provided a picture of what was to come. Because in John chapter 3, two verses before John 3:16, in that same context, Jesus says, "As Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Why? So that when, he says, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me." He said, just like they lifted up that snake in the wilderness, and when people were willing to look and believe, they would be saved. He says, in the same way, the Son of Man must be lifted up. So those who are willing to fix their eyes, willing to look, willing to acknowledge what I've done for them and believe, then they too may find salvation. And so the writer of Hebrews says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Beloved, don't stop looking at the cross. Don't walk away. Don't get distracted. Don't forget. Ashley's boyfriend recently bought one of those drones. You know, the little hover thing, flies around, takes pictures. This drone is pretty incredible. It can go, I think he said, 1,100 feet up. And it can go a long way away. I said, "Well, Bryson, what happens when that thing goes so far that it gets out of range of your controls?" You know what happens when that drone goes so far that it gets out of range of the controls? It automatically, on its own, turns around and comes back to where it started. What happens if that drone is flying around and the battery runs out? This drone is so smart that it can figure out, it thinks on its own, I guess, it can figure out how much battery it's going to take to get back to where it started, plus 2%. And when it reaches that level, it automatically turns around and comes back to where it started. Some of us have been running on our own so long, we're running out of battery. Some of us have been running so long, we think we're too far. We think we've gone too far out of God's reach. And the answer is simple. Come back where you started. Turn around. Come back home. Fixing your eyes on the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, the one who started it and the one who will complete it. Fixing our eyes on him. Some of us need to return to the cross. Some of us need to set aside our petty differences, set aside our worldly concerns, our disappointments, discouragements. Some of us need to set aside trying to keep up with the neighbors, trying to protect our reputation. Set all that stuff aside if that's what's keeping you from the cross. We need to return to the cross so that we never forget how serious sin is. When you see the Savior dying on the cross, you realize how serious sin is. When you see that God took His own Son and allowed those folks to tear His body apart, He shed His own precious holy blood for us, we realize how serious sin is and we stop taking it lightly. We need to return to the cross so we can remember how God loves us. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The whole point of Calvary is God is saying to us, I love you. I love you. No, you don't deserve it. But I love you anyway. When we look at the cross, we remember again how much He paid to provide our freedom and forgiveness, and we stop taking it for granted. When we look at the cross, we remember how He suffered that we might be saved, how He died that we might really live. Forgetting those things, forgetting how serious sin is, forgetting how much God loves us, forgetting how much He paid for our freedom and forgiveness, forgetting how He suffered that we might be saved, forgetting how He died that we might live, is exactly what Jesus wanted us to avoid. He never wanted us to forget those things. He wanted us to remember the power and the point of the cross. And so He said to the guys that night, whenever you break bread, remember My body being broken. Whenever you pour out wine, remember My blood being shed. He said, you do this to remember Me because it's too important to forget. The table helps us fix our eyes and remember. Deacons, would you join me at the table?